9:01 on a Tuesday morning, Sefer Mitzvot with the Rambam, number 194 Mitzvot, Shabbat HaGazel.
Okay, it's what we're up to. It doesn't tie into anything we've done before, but it's fascinating, I think, first philosophically, and second halachically. Let's just start at the beginning. What's strange? Obviously, stealing is usur. It's an issur d'oraisa to steal. We could touch on.
My night again.
We could touch on the difference between gezel and gneiva at some point. Broadly speaking, gezel is thought to be like armed robbery, although that's an oversimplification. But and gneiva is thought to be sort of, you know, sneaking into somebody's house. Just for purposes of the greater issue, if you're a ganav, right, if you sneak into somebody's house and steal and you're caught, what do you have to pay? Anybody know?
Double.
Kefel. Exactly. Double. If you're a gazlan and they catch you, what do you have to pay?
Just the item.
Not kefel. Why? So the Gemara says, interestingly, we have more respect for the armed robber. You want to give him
a sense? He uses more ingenuity.
One time.
He uses more ingenuity.
It's not age. It's not anything that he should be punished for is coming late. Now, you usually come on time, so you get to.
Yeah, okay. I try not to.
And also, you're better looking.
That's the first thing you said in a long time.
Okay, so why is it that a gazlan doesn't pay kefil and a ganav does? So bizarrely, because we have more respect for the gazlan than the ganav. Why?
More ingenuity.
No.
Everybody.
No. Because the gazlan doesn't fear human beings and doesn't fear God. So okay, you know, obviously he's not our role model, but bizarrely the halacha says he's not going to be punished. But the ganav, who fears human beings but does not fear God, because he sneaks into a house where God could see, but human beings can't, we punish more, and he has to pay kefel. Okay, fine. That's just by way of background. But what's really strange about this halacha, and I want to touch on it later, is gzela is asur min haTorah. Okay? Stealing... I want to make him move as many times as possible. No.
You're on a roll, huh?
Gzela is an issur d'oraisa. Okay? So, presumably, every time there's an issur min haTorah and you want to fix it, what's it called when you fix it?
But
tshuva, right? You want to do tshuva when you did something wrong. So let's just point out the obvious, which is if I stole your TV and then a couple of days later I feel bad about it. I think about it, I feel bad about it. Presumably, I would give it back to you. Maybe I'd be a coward and I'd leave it at your front door. But, you know, it would be very hard for me to sit in my living room watching the stolen TV and think that I did tshuva. But yet here you have this mitzvah saseh min haTorah called Ve'ishives ha'gzela asher gazal, that you have to return the stolen property. The issue I find fascinating is, I know that. I know that if I do something wrong, you know, is there a mitzvah that says that if I insult you, you know, in a cruel way, the mitzvah that says I have to do X, Y, and Z to make up for it? No, but it's understood implicit and intuitive in the halakha that if I do something wrong, I have to fix it. So, for example, and it really exists, even though we don't think about it. If you turn a light on Shabbos, so how do you do tshuva?
Turn it off.
Okay. It's 9:05. Bruce cannot talk anymore. Okay, fine. He's finished for today. Now, the answer is you're sorry. You talk to God. In the old days, you brought a carbon chatas in the Beis Hamikdash. Right? There was a path. There is a path for doing tshuva. you could say that bringing a carbon chatas is a mitzvah, but it's weird. But all I'm saying is, I think it's not that often that we find a mitzvah that is intended to fix another mitzvah. Here, there's a prohibition to steal, and then there's a positive commandment to return the stolen item. Now, halachically, anybody know the term for when there's a prohibition, but if you did it, there's a mitzvah that fixes it? You'll know it when I say it. It's called a lav hanitak la'aseh, a lo ta'aseh, that got changed into an aseh, right? A prohibition that got changed into a positive commandment. Example, you're not allowed to leave over Karban Pesach until the morning. That's an Isser d'oraisa, a biblical prohibition to leave over Karban Pesach till the morning. Says the Pasuk, V'hanosar mimeno araboker ba'esh tisaref. If you do this biblical prohibition of leaving over Karban Pesach till the morning, you have to burn it. There's a mitzvah saseh min ha-Torah to burn it. Okay? Another example, which may or may not be, but it's a famous one, is Kan Tzipor. Okay? If you want to take the mother bird, then you have to send away the eggs. So many Rishonim... What?
From the bird.
You want to take
if you
the
want
eggs.
To take the eggs. Okay, yeah. Thank you very much. Thank you. We're even. Okay? Excellent. Didn't take that long for you to catch up. Okay, fine.
Excuse me.
One second, let me just... What's the example? So presumably, many people say, it's also to take the eggs. But if you take the eggs, at least send away the mother bird, because it makes it less painful. It's just, as an aside, but it's fascinating. Kan Tzipor, certainly in certain communities, like the most popular mitzvah in the Torah. Why? Anybody know? Because it says, with respect to Kan Tzipor, that if you do this, the ha'arachta yamin. Now, you live a long life. Obviously, that's the secret to Mr. Weiser's. You know, he obviously does the mother bird thing all the time. But here's the interesting thing. There's only two mitzvahs in the Torah for which that's written. Kibud Avaim. Now, Kibud Avaim is much harder than just doing the bird thing. So, like, I remember, like, in Borough Park, you know, there'd be these signs up. Like, you could contact this guy. I know someone. You pay him, like, $500, and he takes you someplace, and maybe he sets it up. I don't know. You know, and he finds, like, the mother bird and the babies, and you do the mitzvah. This is a big thing in Haredi communities.
I've heard of that.
So, among other things, I think it's bizarre, because I think, according to many Rishonim, it's a lav hanitak laseh. There's no mitzvah to taking the eggs. We don't want you to take the eggs. All we're saying is if you're going to take the eggs, at least be nice enough to send away the mother bird so she doesn't feel that terrible, right? Nobody thinks, well, maybe there's a guy who can set you up, you know, to help you steal a TV, and then you could return it so that you could be mekayim the mitzvah of a heishiv zagzeh l'ashagazah. The same guy who could help you divorce your wife, probably. Another mitzvah you don't want to be mekayim in your life. It's a strange thing, but there is this category called lav hanitak laseh. It's rare. Halachically, why it matters is a rule. Normally, what's the punishment for a lo taseh? If it's not written in the Torah. If you eat basar b'chalav, that's an iser d'oraisa. It's a lav sheyesh bo maisa. You had to pick up the sandwich and eat it. The punishment is makos. Okay? That's the fallback punishment for all lo taseh sheyesh bo maisa, any action that you do that's prohibited by the Torah, if it's not like chil shabbos that has kares or misa, it's makos. The din is alav anitak laseh ein lokin alav. You don't get makos. Okay, there's something about it. Now the simple shot is, well, we can never give you makos. Why? Because you could just give the TV back, and then you would have fixed it. It's interesting, but it's not true. Because if you burn the TV, or you sold the TV, or you smash it in anger, you still don't get makos. Even though it's absolutely clear that you can never be mekayim the mitzvah of the heishiv sagzela shagazal, because you've destroyed the object that you stole, nevertheless. So there's something unique about a lav hanitak laseh that makes the lo taseh different than other lo taseh.
What about paying the amount that the item cost after you?
Yes, so then if you don't... Yeah, thank you. There's another thing called a lav hanitan letashlumen. That a lo taseh for which you could, I guess, fix it by paying, also doesn't get makos. And anytime you smash the TV, it's still a lav hanitan l'tashlumin, because you could still pay for it. But all this by way of introduction, just to make the point that there must be something different going on here than for other mitzvahs.
I missed the distinction between gezeila and geneva. Is there a...
Yes, there is a difference, and I'll admit to struggling to find the exact definition. Broadly speaking, gezeila is considered armed robbery in a way that you're not afraid, right? You're showing up and you're taking this item, whether you see it or not, you have a gun, whatever. And geneva is done in private where nobody knows. Okay? That's the general rule. Fine. With all that, but as an introduction, let's read the pasuk. The pasuk is a little unclear. Says the Torah in Parshas Vayikra, V'haya ki yechatava ashem. Let's say you sin and you're guilty. V'heishiv et ha-gizela asher gazal. Okay? You must return the stolen property. Now, that's very clear. Even though the context in the pasuk is a little strange, v'heishiv et ha-gizela asher gazal, nobody could miss the fact that the Torah is commanding you to return the stolen object. So what's so unique about this? So let's look at number two, Rabbeinu Bechaya. It's also in the Rambam. It's just the place where I found it. It says as follows. He's bothered by a linguistic quirk in the pasuk. Ve'hishivet ha'gzela asher gazal. What's unnecessary in that phrase? Of course, asher gazal. If it's the gzela, so of course asher gazal.
Unless it's someone referring that it has to be the person that stole that's returning it.
Well, let's be clear. If I return the TV that you stole, that's not the mitzvah saseh ve'yishiv et ha'gzeila asher gazal. That's a lovely thing that I did. Oh, I see what you're saying. You're saying it has to be that guy. So it's a different deal. That's interesting. I don't know that anybody says that, but...
No, because if it's a separate mitzvah, then it could ostensibly be...
That would answer all the questions, yeah. Right? It wouldn't be a question of tshuva. It wouldn't be implicit. What bothers me is, isn't returning the stolen object just implicit in the prohibition to steal in the first place? And so you're saying, no, because somebody else could do it. The problem is...
As a social justice thing, if you know somebody...
Correct. The problem is you would be a thief if you did that. I know that sounds bizarre.
No, what about like a holder and or somebody who...
Yes, but again,
you have to give it back even though you paid for it.
Okay, as a general rule, you can never use Nazis for these examples because we'll just be matir anything to screw them. But the point is as follows. I stole the TV, okay? It's in my living room. I think for you to come into my living room and take the TV might be Gezel or Geneva.
Right, because you already have a kin. When you stole
whatever,
you have a
right? I'm just saying, for whatever reason. Zero. So it could be that your possibility, which is a great idea, is just not halachically feasible.
Right.
Anyway, he has a different idea. You can't talk anymore. Okay. Okay. Fine. Quick.
It could be that you took the suitcase off the carrier, not even realizing it wasn't yours. So you stole it, but not exactly.
And you took it home.
And when you return it, because you recognize that it's stolen.
By the way, as an aside, I always think to myself, it's a miracle when you get your suitcase. Because anybody, right? No one ever checks on the way out, right? You still have the little ticket, but nobody checks.
So perhaps it's referring to intent, that intent doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Ticket is stable to your age.
Yes, but if you're a dishonest person, you obviously never thought of this. But why doesn't somebody, you know, when you first of all, you can take out six bags. Right? Nobody, you know.
It's the dirty underwear assumption.
But you don't imply intentional lack of intent. You took the suitcase. You stole it because
I'm not sure you stole it. Anyway, you'll just give it back right away. I don't think that's a good example.
You took it to show game. You realize now it's stolen. So now
it's not stolen.
Okay, but that right. You didn't steal. That's that might be like Hashavas Aveda, even though it was your fault. It's still an aveda. Now let's look at Rabbeinu Bechaya because he has a fascinating, you know, insight. He says, "Hayam maspik hakatuv lomar veheshiv et hagzela." As everybody pointed out, you don't need to say asher gazal; just return the stolen object. Lama hutzrach asher gazal shelo tomar veheshiv et hagzela dumei hagzela. I'll make this guy whole. How? I'll pay him for the object that I took, but I'm not going to give him back the object. Lakach hutzrach asher gazal, lomar oto davar atzmo shegazal. You understand? There's something unique about this. It's not, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, a form of tshuva. It's not, I'll make him whole. I took his TV cost $500, I'll give him $600. I'll completely make him whole. I'll make him better than whole. Says Rabbeinu Bechaya, no. It's veishir takzil asher gazal. The mitzvah's HaTorah is to return that object. And I think that's the case even if the victim would say, I would much rather have $600 than the TV I paid $500 for 6 years ago. Like, I'll come out way ahead. Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying, it's almost a gzeiras hakasov, right? The words asher gazal means the Torah wants you to take that object and return it. Yes, Mr. Levy, you want to say something?
Yeah, if you... I cut you off.
They want you to feel the embarrassment. So.
Maybe. So we'll have to see, we'll have to get to that. Let's just finish Rabbeinu Bechaya.
No, last lo sachmod.
Yeah.
It's a prohibition of lo sachmod. You're coveting somebody else's item.
Right.
And you steal it.
Right.
And you are also in violation of lo sachmod.
Right. So that you're absolutely correct. There's a different Isser d'oraisa, which is in Aser Sadibros, but it's subject to much machlokas, but it's interesting. You know, you covet an item. Okay?
You covet a Sony TV.
Wrong. You covet a house.
But you're returning a Toshiba.
Let's do the T-Nick example. You covet a house. So you go to the house, the person who... The house isn't for sale. And you go, listen, your house is worth $650,000. I'll give you $1 million for your house.
I guess somebody did that.
Because I want to expand my property.
My country club.
And afterwards, not only that, after I give you all that money... And you move to Neve Daniel and you come to the Shir Tuesday morning, I'm going to knock your house down and put a pool there. This could have happened to a member of our Shir. I wouldn't know for sure, but it could have happened. Okay? That's a problem.
I know the guy.
That's a problem of Lo Sachmod. Forcing somebody to sell you something.
Well, did you?
Yeah, that's you got a
that's
of
not.
Huh? You got a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
You shouldn't offer something that a person isn't.
It's a halachic problem. Correct. Go into somebody's head. To go, that's a nice car you have. I always wanted one. You know.
Would you be willing to sell it?
All I'm saying is, you have to understand. What do you think Lo Sachmod is? So whatever you think,
you don't want him to have it. You want it, and you don't want him.
No,
to have it.
No, that's just because you're historically small-minded. No, it's. Lo Sachmod almost certainly involves an action. Right? So, and this is where I just want to point out the obvious, just when we do Lo Sachmod, it's such a great thing. When you think about it, right, what's real Lo Sachmod? If I saw Bill Gates' house, I don't think I'd be over Lo Sachmod. It's so far beyond, right? Like, it's fascinating. We once went on vacation to Rhode Island, where you go to all these mansions, you know, the Vanderbilts or the Brady, you know. It's not Lo Sachmod. You go, this is hysterical. It has 40 bedrooms, you know, and 62 bathrooms, and, you know, and 87 fireplaces. You go, like, this is hysterical, and it's fun, but you're jealous of your friend whose house is 20% nicer than yours or 20% bigger than yours. If we're honest with ourselves, that's really Lo Sachmod. The stuff that's out of your, you know, I see a guy driving a DeLorean, I'm like, that's funny. You know, that's great. I see a guy driving a car that actually works as opposed to mine, I'm jealous of him. Because all I know is a car that works, or actually FM radio. Would that be so bad if I got FM radio? Anyway, fine. Okay, let's finish the Rabbeinu Bechaya. Fourth line. Ve'im kvar aravota b'mamon hamutar. Let's say you can no longer identify the stolen object for whatever reason. Hadin bazel l'shalem d'me hagzela. Okay, then, as somebody pointed out already, there's a fallback. I can't give him back the TV. I'll have to pay. So I'll pay for the TV. V'u shamar chazal b'baba kama gazal maresh u'bina'a b'bira. Here's a very interesting halacha. It's a big exception to the rule of the heishev hagzela. And it really goes to like a lot of the philosophy of halacha. Again, we've seen a mitzvah d'oraisa that says I have to return a stolen object. What if I substantially changed the form of the stolen object? I stole a log, And I've spent 6 months carving that log into, you know, some beautiful statue. Okay? The halacha says, you know what? In that case, you don't have to give it back. Or worse, I stole a log and I incorporated it into my mansion.
You have
that. Huh?
That's real bad. People tore their houses down, right?
No, so that, you'll get some machlokes. We don't paskin that way. And you'll see why. It's fascinating. So look back inside. The Gemara says, Gazal Meirei, she stole a log. Ubina Ababira. And you put it in your Bill Gates, you know, 58,000 square foot mansion. Beishamai omrim mekakea kol habira kula umachzir meresh lebalav. Beishamai, the harsh ones, say, don't care, you stole it, knock the house down, return the log. You know, the beam is supporting the bottom of the house, who cares? Ubeis hillel omrim ein lo ela deme maresh bilvad mipnei takanat hashavim vahalacha kebeit hillel. You could guess. What's takanat hashavim?
This
no, but what takanat hashavim means, no one's going to keep the mitzvah.
If you force them to tell it.
Right. Nobody's going to, you know, we want people to do this mitzvah. We want people to be veheshev es hagzela. But let's face it, if you stole a $5 log and it's going to cost you $1 million to do the mitzvah, you're simply not going to do it. So, he, you know, when you look
you're
at...
You're a thief. What makes you think that you're going
to
want to even do
no,
that?
Okay, because you're a thief who now wants to do tshuva. For whatever reason. You're a thief who now wants to do tshuva. So, Beis Hillel says we have to be reasonable. And it's funny, when people talk about changing in halacha, whatever, this is an example that never gets quoted, but it's fascinating. The pasuk says, V'heshev es hagzela sher gazal, full stop. Beis Hillel say, yeah, but, you know, let's be reasonable. If we really want people to be veheshev es hagzela, we have to have a takanas hashavim. It's really like they overruled the mitzvah d'oraisa for purposes of. It's a fascinating example, although I think Beis Hillel will say, and again, another aside, but it's a worthwhile aside, when people talk about, you know, changing halacha or halacha evolving or growing or what have you, so it's fair to ask yourself, you know, under what circumstances does it make sense or is it appropriate to even talk about something like this? And I think when you look at the examples, the answer is if the goal of the Torah is being thwarted, then Chazal feel freer to step in. What?
Prusbul.
Exactly. What happened with Prusbul? First of all, it was Hillel, right, who started a school of... So what was the din? The din was that when Shemitah comes about, all of your loans are automatically forgiven. Why? Because we want people to lend money, and we want poor people to benefit from the funds that are loaned, and if they can't pay back, we'll automatically be forgiven. And the Torah says, "He shamar lecha pen toma bilvavcha lemar karva shnas hasheva shnas hashemita." The Torah says, be careful, because you might say to yourself, it's almost Shemitah, v'ra'a eincha ba'achicha ha'evyon v'lo titein lo, and you'll go, I'm not going to lend him, because he's not going to pay me back. The Torah says, don't say that, rather, haneg tanik lo, you have to lend him. So Hillel said, the Torah got it wrong. The exact opposite is happening. The Torah said, don't refrain from lending, just because it's going to be forgiven at Shemitah time. And Hillel said, I look around me and I see people are not lending precisely because they're not going to get their money back. That's what motivated Hillel to say, I'm going to make up a thing called Prusbul, which was a huge revolution in halacha. But it's because the Torah announced the goal, and the goal was being thwarted by the application of the halacha. Same thing here. The Torah says, Veheshev es hagzela asher gazal. We want the guy to give it back. Hillel says, I look around, I see all these examples where the guy's not giving it back, not because he doesn't want to, but because he's being forced to pay, you know, 1,000 times the value of what he stole by knocking down a house. So Hillel says, takas hashavim, we're going to quote-unquote change that halacha so that the Torah halacha works better. I know how offensive that sounds, but it's
well,
true.
How did he change it?
Huh?
How was the change made?
He's Hillel. He has a Besdin. He, you know, in a way we can't do it anymore.
Or it's the Mishnah's just
no, he says there's a thing called Takanas HaShavim, which means the din applies. It absolutely applies. You have to give it back. In this certain situation in which you change the form of the stolen object and or you incorporate it into something else where it's going to be hugely expensive, then he says in that case, the Heshev Sagzela will have to be fulfilled by money and not the return of the object. He doesn't potter you from doing tshuva, but, okay, that's fascinating. And I think that, you know, it's not as popular as we think when we think like Chazal changed a million halachos, but I think when you look at them, you'll see that always, when there's a real change, it's implemented in order to support the stated purpose of the Torah.
It's a guy in Tachas Ayin.
But that's not a good example.
Well, we know that built into the system, you pay damages.
The use of an eye, if you...
Right, but it's different. We think, you know, we think that when God gave the pasuk of Ayin Tachas Ayin to Moshe Rabbeinu, he said to him, it doesn't mean that, it means money. So it's not like Chazal stepped in and said, well, Ayin Tachas Ayin is barbaric, let's change it. We believe that when Moshe Rabbeinu came down from our Sinai, he said, Ayin Tachas Ayin means money. So it's just, it's not a good example. It would be a good example. It just didn't happen. Okay?
Speak to the Karaites.
What?
Speak to the Karaites.
I would if I could. I go to the old city, there's five guys left. These guys are not from. I've met them. I met the Shomronim. They're like Reform Shomronim. They're not serious. Okay. I went to the, well, I don't have to admit my sins in public. Okay. Now, number three. Let's look at the Rambam and the Sefer HaMitzvot. That's what we're supposed to be doing here. Says the Rambam, V'hamitzvah ha-kuf tzadi dalid, mitzvah 194, hi shetzivanu la-hashivet ha-gzela ba'atzma, im hi nisheret ba'atzma. Says the Rambam, you have to return it if it exists. I think this means, if it exists, meaning, you know, you didn't break the TV. Mm-hmm. Not that you incorporated the TV into some modern art thing that, okay? You just, it doesn't exist. V'tosefet chomesh, right? Whenever you steal, even though you don't have to pay kefel, you have to pay an additional fifth. An additional fifth, just as a knas, by the way, it's a machlokas, whether it's 20% or 25%. Whether it's 20% of the original, right? Okay, that's just math.
It's in addition to kefel?
No.
No, there's no kefel for gzela. That's what I said at the beginning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
For gneva, there's kefel. For gzela, there isn't. Okay? Ola teit damah im nishtanet. Or to pay money if it changed. V'hu amaro yitale v'heishivet ha-gzela asher gazal kfar b'ayrub m'sechen makot shelav de-gezel hu lav shen nitak la-asei. Right? It's a lotase that was flipped over and became an asei. Va'amu rachmana amar lo tigzol ve'hishivet ha'gzela asher gazal. Right, don't steal. If you do steal, you have to return it. Now again, let's return to the question we started with, which is, isn't it strange that this is a mitzvah to begin with? Because isn't it just the form of fixing what you did wrong? So the good news is, although almost everybody counts it as a mitzvah, Rav Sadia Gaon does not. You look in a Sefer Mitzvot, it's always hard because Rav Sadia Gaon didn't really write a Sefer Mitzvot, he wrote a poem. And then this person who lived no more than 100 years ago, I don't think, maybe 150, Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlo, a huge Talmud Chacham, wrote a 3-volume work. The poem of Rav Sadia Gaon probably has 250 words in it, and that's like the Gettysburg Address, you know, and then people wrote books and books and books. So, when everybody quotes Rav Sadia Gaon, they're really quoting Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlo, who made Rav Sadia Gaon's poem accessible to us in the form of a Sefer HaMitzvos. And he says clearly, Rav Sadia Gaon does not count Veishev HaGzeil Asher Gazal. Now, why would that be? So you could say a lot of different things. To me, it's the point that we've been talking about all along, which is, when I'm sitting in my living room watching the stolen TV, I'm in violation of Lo Tigzol. And I'm in continuous violation of Lo Tigzol until what? Until I return it. So Sadia Gaon would say, yes, the Torah wants you to return it. But it's just a way of saying that it's part of Lo Tigzol. bizarre example, but there's often a question of whether prohibitions in the Torah are continuous or one-time prohibitions. Mashal l'maha davar doma. I grew up in a shtiebel in Long Beach, which had on a good day 20 men, okay? And yet every single possible issue in the world arose in that shtiebel, including a Kohen who was married to a Gioras, okay? That's a biblical prohibition. To marry a Gioras, to marry a Grusha, is a biblical prohibition. Aside from that, he was a completely bizarre man, okay? Now, he also became like Haredi, even though he was married, and you know, he started as about like they didn't know anything, and then okay. So his children are what? Chalalim. Which sounds terrible, but doesn't really mean much. His children lost their status as Kohan. So in terms of giving them Aliyos, they could get Shlishi and on.
Can't get Levi.
They can't get Rishon and they can't get Levi. Okay? But they could get Shlishi. What about the father? He remains a Kohen. Mm-hmm. It's one of the unfair halachos. It's like mamzerus. It's like the most unfair halacha ever. The parents sin, and the kid suffers. Okay? What's the status of the father?
You don't get the
shishi. So one second. So here's the discussion. Here's the chakira. Is it that he committed a sin when he got married? Okay, he committed a sin when he got married. That's a bad thing. But what's done is done. Right? Or is every day, is it a status prohibition? Certainly every time he sleeps with her. Right? You know, in which, so if it's the first case, everybody sins. And everybody gets aliyus and shul. But if it's the second case, you know, he's in constant violation. So I think, by the way, the answer in our shtiebel, the Rebbe, who didn't speak any English, so I didn't know exactly what his thought process was. He's just a small man with a furry hat. But every once in a while, also no one liked this guy. Even as a kid, I knew that. But he had a foster child who normally you would think, like, I'm very impressed by people who have foster children. Because I really think that that's like one of the greatest things you could do. Except he always called him my rented kid. Which I think is not that politically correct.
He's going to give him
okay?
back.
Anyway,
trying to give him back.
Anyway, every once in a while, like every few years, they would make a hosafa on Shabbos. And this guy would get like shmini. Like the Rebbe wouldn't even let him get one of the seven. He would get shmini, and that way no one had to worry about, you know, what a criminal he was. Or he would get, you know, chi. Or okay? So let me just finish this. So it could be the same exact thing with respect to Veheshev Esagzela. It could be. So long as you have the stolen property in your house, you're constantly in violation of Lo Tigzol.
Wouldn't it be just easier to say Asur Bahana'a? You're not allowed to enjoy the fruits of your...
No, the problem, we never do that. I'll tell you why. Because Asur Bahana'a is what we apply to something that's completely legally in your rishus. No, so trefu generally, well, correct, because you have to acquire it or create it, but I don't, what? Avodazar is also Bana, it's true. So you're saying, we should just turn,
surely it would be just easier,
but here, no, but
he,
okay,
that was a one-off.
Right, but you're saying, okay, he wouldn't have, the fact that he stole a TV in violation of a clear pasuk in the Torah,
that's a one-off. Theft.
No, that's direct. Meaning,
no, but you're saying
what you do with Hana is to stop somebody from doing something else. But maybe you're right. Maybe the Torah could have gone one of two directions. Maybe you're right. Torah could have gone one of two directions, which is make it Asur Bahana, or give him a mitzvah to incentivize him to do a mitzvah saseh. It's like the Torah could have said, if you leave over your Karban Pesach till the morning, it's Asur Bahana. It's interesting. The Torah said, no, let me kind of motivate you to burn it by making it a mitzvah d'oraisa. It's an interesting idea, but I think it serves the same purpose. Right, but that's not... Elul HaGazal has to be returned. That Gemara is not talking about... clearly, the mitzvah of the Heshev...
You can't make a bracha on it, though.
Correct.
Another sheet.
What?
Sheet.
No, Bruce has another sheet.
Pretty much. To bring it to... If you build a house in Israel, in one of the settlements,
yeah, where it's a real mitzvah.
You discover, After the, the homes have been built, along comes an Arab with a document saying, you extended your property over my land.
But you know about my house?
Maybe I do. By certain number of meters.
Right.
Now, would Beit Hillel have ruled the way the Supreme Court rules?
Right. So
the houses
right.
down?
The Bagat says tear down all the houses.
So
one guy,
So we can offer monetary.
No, Beit Hillel would be rational, like the United States Supreme Court is, and says, listen, the highway goes over this guy's property, so pay him. Right? No. What we do in this country is, I think there's a halachic word for it, it's called insanity. Okay? It just doesn't make, you know.
We tear the houses down. Or the community.
Oh, no, we only tear down half the house. You know, like, it's a,
does Yeyush apply in this?
Yes and no. Yeyush applies to whether you're actually Kona. But anyway.
By the way, they can't do that in this case because they don't know who the owner of the land is. That's the problem. So
yes, they could put the money. They could put the money in escrow. They could put the money in escrow as they would do in any rational country. Okay, fine. So, again, just the point I want to make and move on is, it could be that if you don't count this mitzvah, it's because you just see it as being baked into the prohibition of lo tigzol. That might be the pshat in Rav Sad Yagon.
Right, just
wait.
Why is the Yeyush not applied? You got this guy.
I didn't say it doesn't apply.
Well, why just win it?
It's still a crime. You could have acquired legal title to the property and still be a criminal. That's how halacha works. Kinyan Gzela doesn't make it okay. It just means it's a technical matter. You own it now.
No, but you have a mitzvah to return it. But what if he gave up on it?
No, you still have a mitzvah. Yeyush does not apply to that. It and maybe that's the answer. It's a standalone mitzvah so that you wouldn't think if the guy had Yeyush, great, I don't have to give it back. I think that maybe that's an interesting idea.
That did kick in. That's why
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, is the mitzvah to return the object or is the mitzvah to just make the guy whole? So what we've seen so far is that it's really to return the object. There's a fallback position that if you don't return the object, right? But is that fallback position part of the mitzvah, or is it just a fallback position? So let's look at the Rambam in number 4. The Rambam in Hilchos Gezeira says as follows: Kol hagozel es chaveru shaver pruta over belotase. The first thing is to be chayev, it has to be a shaver pruta. Okay, presumably it's hard to imagine a case where you're stealing
an apple.
No, actually, sometimes you ever see, like, they post on their frat list, you know, I have, like, a 22-year-old TV, right, which doesn't work in any way. Those things, I always think, like, that it's worth, like, less than a Shabbat Pruta. You couldn't steal a thing like that. You know, your Zenith TV that you got from Aunt Mildred for your wedding 32 years ago, you know, it weighs 400 pounds, you know, like, it has all these tubes that, like, it's not. It's less than a Shabbat Pruta. You would pay somebody to take it to take it.
You have to pay to take it away.
Take it out of your house. You know, it's okay, fine. By the way, that's what the Fralis is worth. Like the occasional joke where somebody's like trying to convince you that this thing is valuable. If you could just please take it away from me, like, okay. So now, kolagozas chaver Shabbat Pruta over below tase shenemar lo tigzol. That's simple. By the way, I should point out, it's not the lo tigzol in Aseret HaDibrot. The lo tigzol in Aseret HaDibrot, we say, is kidnapping. Okay? Because we think the Aseret HaDibros are capital crimes. And regular theft is not a capital crime. Fine.
So where is the wrong again?
The pasuk in Kedoshim. Okay? Where it says, lo tigzol. Okay? Fine. The Rambam didn't make it up. Ve'ein lo kina lavze. You don't get makos, despite the fact that it's a lav sheyesh bo maisa. Share hakatuv nitakola ase. Because the pasuk turned it around and made it a mitzvah sase. She'im gazal chayav lahachzir. That if you stole, there's a chiyuv haTorah, a mitzvah haTorah to return. She'nemar ve'hishivet hagzela asher gazal zo mitzvat ase. Okay, so here the mitzvah is what? It's returning the TV. Now the Rambam says, "Va'afilu saraf hagzela." So now what? You smash the TV. Now you can never return it. Eino lokeh. It's still going to be a lav hanitak la'aseh. Shaharehu chayav lishalem damaha. Because you have to pay. V'chol lav shenitan l'tashlumin ein lo kin alav. Any mitzvah, any lotase that you could fix by way of tashlumin, by way of paying, okay, you're potter from makos. That's the way the Rambam presents it. Now look at the Ritva in number 5. Flip over. The Ritva says, Elahachi kamar. I think the Ritva says that the mitzvah is to make him whole. Okay? The easiest way to make him whole is to give him back the TV. But paying is just as good. Whereas I think the Rambam says, no, the mitzvah is to give him back the TV. If the TV is no longer available, secondary way to be mekayem the mitzvah is to make him whole. But I think it's interesting that the ritva, I think, doesn't matter to him, whether it's the object or the money. You pay it, you're mekayem the mitzvah. Okay. Let's look at the Sefer HaChinuch, and then we'll circle back. The Sefer HaChinuch says, in number 6, couldn't be, now there's no doubt. The mitzvah is returning the object. Not paying, not anything else. Returning the object. Kilomar. Sheim hadavar mamash shegazal hu etzlo. Velo nishtana birshuto. If the exact object is in your possession and hasn't been changed at all, you have to give back that exact object as it is. This is what Mr. Levy said before. It's not like you have an option. Well, I kind of like the TV and I schlepped it all the way to my house. I'll just give him back money. Says the Sefer HaChinuch against the Ritva. That's a violation of the mitzvah saseh v'heishiv esagzela. You have to give him back that which you stole. Vamrinan become a parakah gozal bas, where the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanan v'yeshiv esagzel asher gazal, ma Talmud lomar asher gazal, yachzir ke'en sher gazal. You have to return that which you stole. Now, Bruce, this is for you. V'im nishtane, oh, maybe this isn't for you. V'im nishtaneit ha-gizela birshuto shel gozel, if the form was changed, meaning you built it into your house, you changed it, you made a totem pole out of the log. Chayav lahashiv dameha upatur bekach. Then you just have to pay and you're patur. Af al pi shalom nityashu habalim mimena. Even if the guy still wants his log back. But again, takanas hashavim is so powerful that you don't have to give back the object. Yes?
If it steals a sentimental object.
Yeah.
In other words, he can't give it.
That's a hard question, right? He takes your wedding album, right? You don't have another copy of it.
It's great value to you.
So there's a lot of, I left all this out because it's too complicated. There's a lot of discussion about values, present value, form of value. Is it how much you paid when you bought it? Mm-hmm. Is it how much it was worth? You know, is it now? There's also the discussion about. Right, not over. There's also the question, like, had it for 6 months. Right, for whatever reason, you had it for 6 months, during which time the value dropped precipitously.
Or it's a pair of pants and you wore them for 6 months. A pair of shoes.
Oh, you're just saying, okay, right. I don't know. For some reason,
it doesn't fit it anymore. Now it doesn't fit the
That's anymore. Completely slimy. You stole pants.
Again, by accident.
Shoes is better.
By accident.
You probably steal a toothbrush. You can't. These are things that you can't. It's a TV, believe me. That's what Chazal meant. Okay. Last paragraph in 6 here. V'noheges b'chol makom u'v'chol zman b'zcharim u'v'nekevot. Obviously, it applies both to men and to women. V'over aleha v'gazal v'lo heshiv b'tel asezeh. You're in violation of lo tigzol, and you're in violation of v'heshiv et ha'gzela she'gazal. Milvad alav shavar b'shat gzela. V'oi, it's a good line, listen to this. Va'oilo lemisha biyado litaken hameuvat ve'eino mitakno teremoto. He says, and it's particularly horrible for a person to have not fixed something that's easily fixable. Now I want to make a point, because when I ask myself, what's so unique about this situation? Why is there a mitzvah, v'heishiv es hagzeilon, is not a mitzvah to fix all the other prohibitions in the Torah? I just want to suggest something that may or may not be true. I have no support for this. Let's say I break into your house when you're not home. You're on a trip to America for 10 days. I break into your house when you're not home, I take the TV, I put it in my house. I'm so happy with the TV. But then I have regret. Then I realize that I shouldn't have done this. It was a terrible thing.
What you got to see,
and I go back and I put the TV back. You come home, you don't know anything. There's absolutely nothing different in your house. You lost nothing. Okay? I think that this is a mitzvah that you could actually turn the clock back on. There are situations in which you could fix it in such a way that as if you never did it.
Would you be
one second, I want to pound this for a second. You know, if I insult you, I could apologize. But I insulted you. And you'll always remember that I insulted you. Maybe in all other situations, you did the thing. Okay, now you did the thing exists. Let's try to find a way for you to fix as much as possible. But Gzela, it's possible that you could fix it as if it never happened. And now, my example is not that common with Gzela, probably. But let's say you could fix it in the sense that, you know, when you give the thing back, somehow it's like it never happened. And so it's not just a form of tshuva. But as the Chinuch says, every time you do something wrong, you know, you have an opportunity to do tshuva. Okay, but it doesn't exist as a standalone mitzvah. It's just it's the right thing to do. But I think here, when the path to fixing it is so obvious and so easy, the halacha is good. It doesn't cost you anything. With takanas hashavim, you never lose out more than you took, and you can honor. Well, right, true. There's a chomesh. But you know, you could see the person saying, "It's not fair. He just gave it back, and that's all." But I think the Torah wants you to do that in a situation where, like, you could just turn the clock back and fix it. To not do that is not just lo tigzol, but that's a violation of the heishev es hagzeilah. That's like you didn't take a lulav. That it's a double word score, right? You didn't just get the regular isser of gzeilah, but on top of that, you were confronted with a situation where you could have fixed it and you didn't. It's even worse. Okay, I'm sorry, I cut you off. It works when I cut you off. Then you don't know what you're going to say.
If I take something even when I return, even though I didn't know about it, is that Kneva Stas?
You're not getting to Olam Haba, because I don't know if it's a Kneva Stas. Presumably some form. I don't know what Kneva Stas really is. Like, it's a phrase. I'm not sure what halachic category it fits into, other than cheating people.
What if I improve the product before I give it back? Does it become a mitzvah then?
No, because in that case, you may not have to give it back.
Yeah.
Because again, that's takanas hashavim. You took this piece of wood and you made it this most beautiful thing ever. The halacha will say, we pass like Beis Hillel. You could pay him the money now, because we want people to do it. We want you to give it back, and we think it'll be painful for you to give it back. I assume you can always be lifnei mishur sadin. Right? You give back this beautiful sculpture, and the guy goes, I want my log. What happened to my log? I love my log, you know.
When you take the guy's wedding cake before the wedding and you see it in your freezer, and later you feel guilty and you return it after the wedding, there's no way now to assess this. So
I agree.
How do they do that?
I agree. There's nothing less valuable than leftover wedding cake.
No, you didn't touch it. You stuck it in your freezer, and now you're giving it back.
You
feel bad about it.
You're an amar. It's once you freeze a cake, it's never as good as
the So is there some way of compensating for his loss?
I don't know. It's a very fair question. Certainly, in terms of physical pain, we have subjective ways to monitor. I don't know how you would do it with Gzela. I really don't know the answer to that question.
Same idea. Somebody stole your Walkman in the 80s and decided in 2017 to give it back.
I remember when I got a Walkman. When this is the first rich guy in Yeshivat Haaretzion, 30-something years ago, he would take you outside and he'd put the headphones on you. And there was this thing where the sound went from your right ear to your left ear. It sounded like a jet flying overhead. And everybody did the same thing. You know, and he would laugh because, like, you'd never had that experience before. It was the coolest thing ever. So, yes, I don't... I have a Nintendo, probably, that I got from my wedding that I never opened.
Your wedding?
I'm married. I know I look young. I know I look young, but okay. No, you know why? Can I tell you something? That's why you invite goyim to your wedding, because they give good presents. Really stupid. What's another bowl? I got a Nintendo. Okay, now.
My worst present.
Is no one got a rebate?
Huh? Yeah. No, it's a knas. Kefel's not a rebit. You did something wrong. The Torah forces you. Now, let me end with a really interesting halachic idea, which is in the last paragraph, but I'm not going to read it inside because it's confusing. If we think veheshev esagzela shegazal is a mitzvah sasei min haTorah, as almost everybody does, then presumably the rules that govern a mitzvah sasei should apply to veheshev esagzela. Now, here's an interesting thing. How much money do you have to spend on a mitzvah saseh min haTorah? Correct. It's not that you I said it the wrong way. It's not that you have to spend a fifth. It's that you don't have to spend more than a fifth. Right? Technically speaking, if the only lulav and esrog that you could get, it's not a great example, you know, cost $500,000. So for this group, that wouldn't matter. That's much less than a fifth of your wealth. But let's say it wasn't, okay? So presumably you'd be patur from the mitzvah of lulav because you don't have to spend more than a fifth. That's the general rule, but you have to spend up to a fifth. So now, if I asked you, you sold the TV when right before they knocked your house down in Teaneck, there's going to be a lift. You went across the street to the Weber's and you took their new flat screen and you put it in your lift. And now you're living in Neve Daniel.
It doesn't work.
And one day you start feeling bad that you stole the Weber's TV, but the Weber's still live in Teaneck. Now you got to get the TV back to Teaneck.
Yours is 110 volts.
You got to get the TV back. You don't like my TV because your TV only gets conservative
stations. A lot of emotional baggage between this.
No. So here's the thing. The din is, it's interesting, the din is you don't have to ship the TV back. You look in Shulchan Aruch, this is, you have to call the guy up, you have to tell him, listen, I really feel bad, I have the TV, but it's strange, yes, I know, and it doesn't make sense. But I'm just asking, in the technical halachic sense, why isn't the halacha just the regular halacha, which is, I have a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, I have to spend up to a fifth of my money to return it. So I want to suggest, with no support, but just I think it just comes out of the conversation, is that even if this is a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, it's different than other mitzvahs. It's really unique, and the regular rules don't apply. And in this case, you know, despite the fact that it's called a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, it's one of the Tarag mitzvahs, it's a different category of mitzvah because it's part of the tshuva process. I don't know. It's part of the lo sigzol. It's a lav anitak la'aseh. For whatever reason, even though it's a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, it doesn't belong in the regular categories of mitzvah saseh min haTorah. And then just to finish, it could be that there are categories of mitzvahs. It's useful to think in these terms. So for example, there are mitzvahs like lulav and matzah and shofar and maror and sipur yitzias mitzrayim, which are absolute obligations, not contingent on anything. Okay, meaning when Pesach comes, you have to do this. When Sukkot comes, you have to do this. When Shavuos comes, right? That's the rule. That's a regular mitzvah saseh min haTorah. Then there are mitzvah saseh that are contingent. We've discussed this before. If you don't have a house, you're not in violation of the mitzvah mezuzah. The mitzvah doesn't apply. If you don't have a porch that's high up, you're not in violation of the mitzvah of building a makeh, a railing. It just doesn't apply to you. Fine. But when it does apply, it's a regular mitzvah. Then there are the mitzvahs that you hope you'll never fulfill in your life, like getting divorced, like returning stolen property, right? That's a mitzvah you never want to fulfill. But within that category, there could be differences. It could be that returning stolen property, it's its own category. And the rules of spending a fifth don't apply. And
what's another, you know, and returning it, what's another rule that wouldn't apply? Because it's just a form of tshuva as opposed to a standalone mitzvah, the rules are different. Again, mostly what's exciting about this is that if you had to pick, if anybody asks like, what mitzvah do you least want to do in your life, I think this is the answer.
Kiddush Hashem. You see what that means?
What? That's the difference between you and Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva dreamt of doing that mitzvah, and you.
It's Rabbi Akiva, you know.
Okay. Just one of the differences between you and Rabbi Akiva. The other being, you knew much more Torah than he did until you were 40. Right? But then he really got. Then he really kicked his game into gear. And he left you far behind. Okay, but. Okay, yeah, Bruce, what?
When you said that you have no obligation to return it to Teaneck voluntarily. Yeah. But now you admit it to it. The guy takes you to Beit Din. And
right.
Can the Beit Din now obligate you to
I don't think so. Again, I don't think so. I think you have to. You could give it to Beis Din.
That'd be
and say,
a settlement.
Huh?
It'd be a settlement.
It could be, now that I think about it, it could be part of Takanas HaShavim. Which bizarrely is, you're not going to admit it, and you're not going to give the TV back if it requires you to
Well, you
go
did
to
already.
This,
you called the government and said, listen,
to,
I...
To go to
I
all this effort. Look, you want to be a tzaddik, you want to do real tshuva, you want to do lefnei Mishur HaSadin,
yeah.
Of course you have to bring it back to Neve Daniel.
Yeah.
Of course that's the right thing to do. But it could be that this mitzvah is kind of a halfway mitzvah. We really want to incentivize people to do this,
mm-hmm.
and we're willing for the victim to suffer a little bit in order to get people to do a minimum level of tshuva. And if somehow that's baked into the mitzvah, maybe the Takanas HaShavim thing isn't such a big chiddush. Maybe it was always understood that this is kind of a halfway mitzvah where we're willing to sacrifice. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes you ask yourself, who's the beneficiary of this mitzvah? Or is this a mitzvah benom lachaver or benom lamakom? So almost all of us would say, of course, benom lachaver, you're returning stolen goods. Maybe the answer is no. Maybe the answer is Beinam Lamakom, and Beinam Lamakom, it's enough to give the TV to Beis Din and say, I did something terrible. Now, if you want to fix Beinam Lachavero, load it in the car and bring it over to the guy's house. But to get the technical, and maybe even more than that, maybe it's not a full tshuva. It's a mitzvah saseh, and we want you to do that, but the full tshuva would be to bring the TV back, to hook it up to the antenna, you had an antenna, you know, to plug it in. Now you did the mitzvah. Okay? Fascinating. I don't know all the answers, but I think when you look at categories of mitzvahs, Beis Din like Zeila raises a lot of really interesting issues and forces us to think of mitzvahs in ways that we don't normally do.
Thank you, Eli.